And welcome to another episode of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast, brought to you by the Dynasty Football Network and DynastyFootballFactory.com. My name is Michael Sipes. You can find me on Twitter at FFBlitz. And I'm here with my partners, Jeremy Broen.
What up?
At DFF underscore Madman. And Shane Manila.
Hey, guys.
At DFF.
Really, what? Real excited to be here.
At DFF underscore Shane. Yeah, and that's great. And then we also have a guest tonight too, right, Jeremy?
Yes. The infamous FuSuVu. Twitter famous guy, great scout.
Where's Dez? If you're walking down the street, where's Dez? Anybody seen Dez Bryant?
I was going to introduce that as a new segment that you wanted to do, but then you started singing. So, yes.
Well, here's the thing. So, every time I think about where's Dez, where's he signed? Because, you know, I got two kids that are slightly younger. I think of the Where's Jeff song from The Wiggles. Okay. And I start singing that in my head, like, where's Dez? Has he signed with Green Bay? Where's Dez?
I'm glad that Michael Jr. You know that song too, Jeremy?
No, it's just rhyming with Shane.
Okay, yeah. I'm glad Michael Jr. didn't watch The Wiggles when he was a kid. But yes, so you wanted to talk about where's Dez. So that's what we were going to talk as a news thing here. So where is Dez? What's going on?
Absolutely nothing. I just thought it'd be fun because we wanted to do this with Jordan Matthews, and that sumbitch went up and signed with the Patriots. But now I'm concerned. Dez hasn't signed with anyone. I'm getting a little nervous now. Like, is he not going to sign with anyone is what I'm worried about. Is he completely washed? Is he done?
No, man. He had an offer from Baltimore, right? He turned down. He didn't want to go there. So I'm sure there are teams that are after him. Who knows how soon he signs? But, I mean, he's only 29. He's like at the tail end of his prime at 29, and he did fine last year. So he's going to go somewhere and play, but, you know, it's going to come down to money, how much he's willing to play for and how much a team's willing to give him. It's going to happen, though. I don't think it's going to be too long. He'll play. He's going to be – what do you think he's going to be valuable for in, you know, Dynasty? He's last couple of years probably. And he's a wide receiver, low-end wide receiver two, maybe high-end wide receiver three. You need those guys on your team.
Apparently not. No one signed him.
I was going to say. So do you think it is a money situation or is it his ability still to play? I mean, everybody believes he could still play. And the thing with the Ravens, he turned them down, but we have never heard anything since that. Has anybody even offered him or do they even mention that anybody's offered him anything?
No, nothing serious.
So do you guys care about him in Dynasty then? Are you trading him? Are you trying to get him? Is he like, what's his name? The guy, he retired on the Detroit Lions, but his name is still in
Calvin
NFL.
Johnson.
Yeah, Calvin Johnson. Yeah.
That guy?
Well, what I'm saying is people still draft him in NFL. In like these 60-man rosters, they take him with their last pick because he's still in the system of an NFL. Is Dez going to be like that and stay in the system?
I got a waivers email the other day. Someone dropped them. Yeah. I just smiled.
That's what I mean. So people are still caring, but obviously Dez isn't to that point. But so are you keeping him on your rosters or are you cutting him?
Well, you can't cut him because if he signs anywhere, he's an immediate starter. I don't think I can trade for him, though, because I'm scared to death that he's not actually going to sign with anyone.
Yeah, there's not a lot of movement with Dez Bryant until he signs. I'm not going after him anyway. But if I have him, yeah, I do have him. I'm just holding on to him, hoping that he goes somewhere where he can, you know, be valuable for my team still this year.
Trade alert.
Oh, we got a trade alert. Oh, good, because we're done with Dez. What's the trade alert you got there, Shane?
Now, all I got is a crappy trade. I just traded a 2019 second and fourth round pick for the 209 and drafted Dante Pettis.
Well, that's exciting.
That's all I got. I don't have a lot of trades. Pettis isn't a guy I'm targeting, but, you know, whatever. He's apparently liked in San Francisco. And like I think I said at one of these shows before, I know enough to know that I don't know everything. And maybe he's better than I think he is. Whatever. I got a cheap share of him.
I think you're probably right. I like him too. But is he better than Richie James? That's the question. I don't think he is.
I don't know, but I've been drafting Richie James everywhere in the fourth round over the last few days.
Oh, man. That's the epitome of value in the fourth round. You never know, man. The offense there, they're building it now. They're drafting guys that they think fit. And everybody that's not locked into a role already, like, you know, Kittle is and, you know, Garoppolo is, all the other guys have a chance to become players that that team relies on. So I think you're doing good getting anybody on that offense and just taking a chance, especially in the fourth. Richie James in the fourth. That's man. Last year you would have never guessed that, or even during the college season, that you'd get him that low.
Well, here's the thing. When people were talking him up in college because of his production, I could never get behind him because he's, what, 5'1", 118 pounds or something? Like, he's really small.
But yeah,
but he is. He's tiny. Like, he's like 5'8", 170, I think. Something around there. Like, dude, I'm scared he could get killed on the field. But for the price of a fourth-round draft pick, rookie pick, yeah, I'll do that. Maybe that, you know, that production will carry over. Maybe Jimmy G has found his Wes Welker.
I've been doing a bunch of rookie drafts these last 2 weeks, and there's been a couple players, including our ADP mocks too. There's been a couple players that have dropped from what people were talking about a couple weeks ago, and there's players that are rising. One of the ones that I keep seeing rising everywhere, and he goes higher and higher and higher now, is that Mike Gesicki. What do you guys think about that guy? I mean, he's going at the top of the second round in a lot of these drafts I'm in now.
I think so. Fine with that. Yeah, and he's more of a short shot than most of the receivers that you can grab around there, and assuming Anthony Miller's off the board.
Well, yeah, and just case in point, who are the other tight ends in Miami without looking?
Marquise Gray.
AJ Derby.
Yeah, AJ Derby's there, yep.
No one else. Let's get Fuju on.
Before we get him on, though, let's just say that our podcast is brought to you by gtbets.eu, the official sponsor for the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast. Are you looking to get in on some action in today's games? Head over to GT. Head on over to GT. You said I am, and Shane's shaking his head all over the place. Head on over to gtbets.eu for all your sports betting needs with updated odds covering all major sports. The bottom line.
Fun fact.
What?
So I put some money down on the basketball this week.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Did you win?
I did. And then I lost the next night because I thought King James was a. Not going to let his team go down 2-0. But I want to see what their odds are when they are down 3-0 to come back and win, because I'm going to put a lot of money on them to do that. Never bet against King James until the finals. Yeah,
exactly. I had one thing I wanted to ask you, Shane. How did that Scrabble stuff work out for you? Did you make money off of that?
Apparently, I imagined that.
Okay.
Oh, it's not real?
No. Wait a second. I'm in the middle of talking about gtbets.eu. You're going off on Scramble now. So listen, the bottom line, gtbets.eu will have you placing your first bet within minutes with their simple-to-use registration process. So register now, earn up to $500 in free money. All you got to do is add TradesHQ in the referred by field to get the highest possible welcome bonus. And then you can go bet on basketball like Shane. Now we want to bring in our guest for tonight. We want to welcome Fusuvu. You can find him on Twitter at Life's Your Cup. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
Dude, excited to have you on. This is Madman. I'm really happy to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. Appreciate it.
All right, I got to ask the first question.
Of course. Go ahead, Shane.
Sorry, man. So you're known for two things. Well, a couple things. One, you know, pretty fire takes with the rankings, and we'll get to that because you actually have a good process for that, and I trust your eye, even if I disagree with some of your takes. But the other one is Twitter beefs, man. I have to ask you about the Twitter beefs.
The Twitter beefs? Oh man, I mean, if I just see something out of the ordinary that I feel strongly against, I just like pointing it out, Just stir up a little bit of discussion. That's all.
Oh,
I'm just. I'm just passionate about this hobby. So I just like to do that kind of stuff. But I mean, it's really nothing personal. It's kind of hard to get your intention across. It might be misunderstood on Twitter, but yeah, it happens.
Do you get a lot of pullback or fight back from some of the people? Do they get that's what you're doing?
I think some people welcome it. They enjoy the banter, and some they probably just don't take me seriously. they just ignore it or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's all good. I mean, I like it. We're talking about players after all, and opinions about players, and there are a lot of players, so. There's equally as many takes or more, and I think it's all good. I do think people take it personal at times, though. But, I mean, for instance, recently I saw that somebody said that you were just ranking players or throwing names out there of certain players to run contrary to the consensus, but just doing that for hot takes, where my interpretation is that you're being genuine with you legitimately feel like the player that you're denigrating or the player that you're vaulting up above others, you genuinely believe that they're better or worse, that it's a factual thing to you. You're not just doing it for, you know, clicks. Is that true? I mean, it's guys that you like or dislike, right?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, people who know me well on, you know, on Twitter and follow me closely, they know that, you know, I put in a good amount of work. You know, I mean, I don't even get paid to do this. I mean, it's just kind of just something I do on my free time. And, you know, I'm just here to contribute to, you know, the draft community, the fantasy community. Just I'm learning too, and I'm helping other people learn. So, you know, I'm just trying to be honest with my takes, just, you know, try to form my own opinion and not run with the crowd, so to speak.
That's pretty good too, because a lot of people don't have their own opinions or they don't say their own opinions. I do like your description on Twitter though. Underneath your name, for your profile, it says Darius Geis is the best running back in the draft.
And I agree, by the way. I do. I have for a long time. I don't really talk about it because nobody ever wants to go there, man. If you don't say Saquon Barkley at 101, there's something wrong with you. So I gave up a long time ago. But, you know, so I'm like the I feel like maybe I'm the silent majority. There's got to be a lot of people out there that feel the same way. They just aren't talking about it.
Well, yeah. And in the six drafts I've had, I've got him in five of them. So I've been happy with him, and I'm fine not going after the 101. But I you have that as your profile name. So you feel that strongly about it?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I mean, I've been a big fan of Geis, you know, since he came into college. So, you know, that's my guy. I'm gonna stick with him.
That's cool. You know,
I love watching him run. His style of play is just it's fun to watch. I mean, the vision, the toughness, you know, I can run around you, but I can also run you over. I mean, it's just a great combination of traits. I love that guy.
Yeah, and
you're a Kalen Balaj fan too. I don't know if you saw that site. He also likes.
Let's go with Geis. since he's got him ranked number one overall at running back. What do you like, Fuse?
Geis, just his physical nature, and you know he's got pretty good lateral agility, quickness for, you know, a guy that's about 224 pounds. He moves really well and cuts.
A guy built like Shane, you're saying, and moves.
220. Yeah, about 220. I don't have any lateral agility.
Right. Well, living down here in South Florida, I'm happy that you really like Kalen Balaj. What do you like about him?
I think he's arguably one of the best, you know, receiving running backs. You know, I mean, outside of Barkley, you know, I mean, I'd say he's as good as Barkley, but you know, his running ability isn't as good. So you know, people don't really put him up there. But I think he's probably the best, arguably the best receiving prospect. Receiving a running back in this class, he looks pretty natural doing it. I've been following him really closely. I've seen some of his footage, his workout footage, and you know he's got some pretty crazy footwork and change of direction.
So. It is funny watching him though. He looks like a natural receiver more than he does a running back. Mm-hmm. What about Darius Geis though, Fuju? Do you think
back to Darius?
I mean, he's the more important running back of the two. So, do you think he's going to be able to be a pass catcher at the NFL level?
Yeah, I think just from a physical ability standpoint. I mean, I don't have any worries about that. You know, LSU they're just one of those teams that they just really don't. You know, incorporate the running back in the passing game. They just love to just run the ball and, you know, run it down their opponents' throats.
Yeah, they don't even like to include the receivers in the passing game.
There you go.
So that's cool. So who else are, like, maybe in your top five running backs then?
Top five running backs? I've got Geis, Barkley. I think, Yeah, I have them, you know, on the same tier. I think, you know, some people probably think that's crazy, but I think they're about even. And then the next tier, it'll be Penny, Chubb, and Ronald Jones. So nice. That's my top five.
That's not really crazy. The first time that I really not noticed, but like the biggest one I think I knew Fuju from was last year. He had Fournette at one point pretty far down in the rankings. I think it was like 15 or 16 at one point. Mm-hmm. I know he moved. Was it 15 or 16 before the draft?
Something like that.
Yeah, I know he moved up because I remember I saw he moved up into your top 10 after the draft, and I was like, oh, well, look at that.
Yeah, so based on what we've talked about with Fournette, he might be like Nostradamus with that player because we still don't know. You know, I mean, he gets the volume, but
I don't trust Fournette. Mostly, I don't trust his ankles, and he just looks like he wants to be a really fat kid.
He just wants to run straight.
Yeah. How about wide receivers? Can we get a couple of those? So what do you got at top five, we'll say?
Wide receiver? I've got DJ Moore, Cortland Sutton, and James Washington, Traquan Smith, and Equanimeous St. Brown.
Ooh, you, wow. Still got St. Brown in the top five, huh?
Oh, man. That's
yeah. Cool.
Do you really?
I mean – he's probably you probably don't have to take him that high, but that's just, you know, that's just my ranking. You're probably
you can
get him a little later.
In several of the drafts that I'm in, he's gone much, much later.
Yeah.
Much
later.
I think that I mean, his only issue is that is what's between his ears. If all that's there, then he should be that good.
But I guess with what you're saying then is you get him at a really great value then for people if he's still around in the sixth and seventh round.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, my rankings are just kind of, you know, what, like a projection, you know, where I see they could end up, you know, what kind of career they could have. Not necessarily, I mean, if you're making a real big board, you'll probably have him down, you know, further because you know you could get him later.
Yeah, that is what ends up happening is even if you like somebody and then other people don't, sometimes you get a good value with them later on.
Well, I'll tell you what we didn't get a good value on in a league that Fusu and I were in together, Devi League. We both were really after Ishmael Zamora, and I had just drafted him and I owned him, and he offered me a haul for Ishmael Zamora, and I was like, you know what, I can't. I love this player. He's going to be so great. And things just didn't work out. And I think back on that, and I'm like, man, what players I could have had if I'd made that trade. But we were both believers that that guy was going to transition, you know, translate well to the NFL, and it didn't work out. Even last year in the draft, I just figured, I mean, these guys, they have all the talent and ability, and it just doesn't, I don't know if they don't work hard enough. It just never works out for some of them. It's disappointing. I hope that's not ESB. Because I agree, I think physically and talent-wise, if he puts it together, he could be a really elite wide receiver.
Is there anybody in this rookie draft that, you know, where everybody landed, is there anybody that you liked going into this process that now you don't like anymore because of where they landed?
Probably maybe Sutton.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I'm still high on him. But, I mean, he might not do much as, you know, his rookie year because Demaryius and Emmanuel, you know, they're both really good. And they're really established veterans. So, I mean, I don't know what Sutton's going to do as a rookie. He might not do much.
But what do you think going forward with him after Demaryius maybe, you know, hangs up the cleats or moves on? I mean, what do you think? Do you think his ceiling is as high as, you know, we used to think he could become a wide receiver one? You know, I mean, could he do that? And could he do that in Denver? You a believer?
Yeah, I think he could be a wide receiver one type, kind of like a Brandon Marshall, you know, former Bronco. Kind of like a Michael Thomas,
I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have any issues with how Cortland Sutton actually positions his hands when he catches?
What in the world? That's twice you brought that up, and I still don't get that. It's funny.
No, not at all. I don't know.
You've heard that before from someone, right? I didn't make that up in my head. Someone said.
I've seen people. Okay. Yeah, I've seen people talk about mention that up, and it's like, you know, if it doesn't, I mean, if it doesn't show up in the numbers in the his drop rate, then you know, it's all good. Right. You know,
I don't care if he.
he didn't. I mean, I didn't see anything that was too glaring, you know, that I like he was the worst hands catcher ever, you know. I don't think
at least he uses his hands to catch, right? I mean, that's what you want.
Yeah, I mean, he's got, he still has the size and physicality, so you know, it's, you know, it's always, it's like a balance you have to find. He's a big receiver, so you know, he can make up for some drops, and he'll get to use some balls that other guys might not get to, you know. So
he's become a hell of a value, that's for sure. Getting him in the second round
now. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like every draft I'm in, not every draft, but let me
shut up. Oh, 38 of them.
Some of the drafts I'm in, he's just kind of hanging out there around the 110, 111 range. And if I don't have a pick around there, I'm trying to trade everything in sight. Like I'm offering people Venmo cash. Like, let me move up here and just
I'll give you a dollar.
Something. Well, Fush, can you talk? Oh, I'm sorry, I'll just cut you off. But I wanted to know about a little bit about what you like about Tre'Quan Smith, because I think we kind of glossed over that earlier. You had him, I believe, at third or fourth. Yeah, which is it's pretty high for him. And you know, he's a player that I think all three of us actually like. So if you could just talk about him a little bit, that'd be cool.
Tre'Quan Smith, he's got really good speed, big play threat. He was I think he was the fastest guy at the Senior Bowl. So I mean, he only ran a 4.49, but on the field he's as fast as anybody. And he kind of reminds me a little bit of Devontae Parker and Josh Doxson. His ball skills, his leaping ability.
Yeah.
And as far as metrics, he's got his college career, he's got pretty solid market share. He's got a young breakout age. So those things, as far as metrics wise, just numbers wise, it projects very well. And you know, having Drew Brees as quarterback, it's not a bad thing.
Do you see him on the other side of Michael Thomas? Do you see him on the other side of the field with the guy they got from Chicago? Maybe running down the slot. How do you think that'll shake out? Do you think he'll be like the other guy, the other side of the field, or what? I don't know where he's gonna play.
Yeah, I think he'll be too good to keep off the field, and I think Brees is, you know, Brees will spread it around because Brees can read the whole field. So there's always going to be opportunities when you have a quarterback that, you know, he's not really going to lock into one guy. Who's ever open, he'll throw it to you. As long as, you know, he learns to run, you know, runs a few routes, you know, just get the plays down, Brees will throw it to him.
You know, you mentioned Brees a couple times. Before we wrap up everything, you know, we spoke about these positions, but one of the big ones everybody talks about with this rookie draft are quarterbacks. You know, there's a lot of these quarterbacks. Shane always says how super flex leagues are the best leagues ever. So where do you rank all these quarterbacks? Like, which one do you think is the one people should be out there grabbing in their rookie drafts? And why do you like them?
I don't really spend too much time on quarterbacks, but
yeah.
As far as my rankings go, I'd go Baker Mayfield. He's basically the most prolific college passer in history. And yeah, there's, you know, the traditionalists are gonna knock him for his size or whatever, but yeah, probably Baker's the clear cut guy. I think Darnold is, you know, pretty promising as well, considering how young he is, and you know, his performance, you know, his overall performance in his college career wasn't bad. People are focusing on, you know, they're cherry picking a few games here and there, but you know, you can't, you know, any other, you know, he could replay those games over again and do better, and you know, would it really, you know, would really validate, you know, that much, you know, you want to focus on the whole picture. So
Darryl, the guy who learns from his mistakes. you know, the one thing is, I know you have a method for player evaluation you use for your rankings and to kind of come up with, you know, players that you clearly value outside of that sort of consensus, like especially Twitter, you know, is kind of a funny place at times. It's like a special clique of people. And if you don't agree, you know, there's something wrong. But it seems like you have a method for this evaluation that you do, maybe a hybrid even. But so what do you draw on to validate players on your list, like tape, metrics, you know, a blend of common sense? I know you have a method. What is it that you key on to make your rankings?
I think it's a combination of, you know, just watching the video and you're looking at the metrics. But I mean, I would say more on the metrics side, and then looking at the video to see if, you know, things match up. Or, you know, how is the guy producing, and, you know, what the competition level is. Is everyone just less athletic and he's just always right, wide open, or always have a ton of room? You know, I mean, it's just all about context.
Context, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, as far as running backs goes, I think you have to I think when projecting guys, you have to know, have an idea of where a guy is going to be drafted in the real draft. And as for running backs, I think generally running backs are drafted higher based on athleticism or speed. So when I'm watching running backs, I try to get a feel for how athletic they are, you know, or how fast they are, because I've been trying to, you know, measure how fast these guys are running on video. And mm-hmm. Yeah, and some of the figures have been validated. So, I know some people, you know, they're probably making fun of me for that, or don't take me seriously for that. But anyway, yeah. So that's one thing I look at for running backs. For wide receiver, I think metrics are, you know, probably very much stronger. Way of projecting them, because there's a lot of smart guys out there running models and doing the research on metrics like breakout age and market share, dominant rating. These mm-hmm. those things are pretty, you know, pretty strong correlation to future success. And I think if you're like a pure tape watcher, you're probably missing the whole picture if you're not looking at metrics, because some guys can look really raw on tape and you just can't assume that they're not going to learn to get better. And if they're, you know, if they're younger, like 21 years old, they have more likely to develop more if they're, you know, if their production is strong too, then, and they're kind of raw, but well, they're young. So, you know, they're more likely to develop compared to a guy that's like 23 or 24 and they're still raw. They're less likely to develop more. So, you know, those are all the things I consider.
I like what you said about context, because the thing that drew me to you is the fact that you don't use any one thing as sort of a prevailing notion of why a player is. It's always been obvious to me that you look at multiple factors and that you, like you said, you contextualize things. I mean, you know, that's really important. You can't just look at these players in a vacuum and compare them next to each other. There are so many factors that come into play. So I appreciate that about you. And another thing I wanted to ask you, because we're a trading show, we talk about trades and values, we're flipping picks, we're trading players. I mean, it's just insanity out there. And sometimes I need a break from it. And I think to myself, you know, some trades don't have to be made. You don't need to make a trade. Just you got a good player, just keep him. But just to keep in tune with our listeners and trading, if we're trading away players right now, current assets on our teams for future picks, you know, 2019 picks, who are some players that we should really have at the top of our list for next year's draft, for the rookie draft next year, juniors, seniors that are coming out? Who should we be paying attention to now as we evaluate that?
I think if people want to trade for 2019 picks, they should go after the wide receivers. I mean, if you need a wide receiver, you should trade. But if you want a running back, I'd probably wouldn't bother. I'd hold off, or you know, even trade away your 2019 picks if you got, you know, if you don't need a running back. But if you want a wide receiver, I think there's a lot of good wide receivers, big wide receivers too. The guys at the top would be N'Keal Harry from Arizona State. He's a big physical guy, kind of like a Dez Bryant, sort of like a Cortland Sutton, maybe. Very similar mold. And then there's A.J. Brown from Ole Miss. He's another big physical guy. He's 6'1", 225. He's playing mostly out of the slot in college, though, so we'll see how he translates. And then another guy, Brian Edwards.
I love that guy.
South Carolina. He's I think he's probably going to be the youngest wide receiver in the draft, So he's going to, break all the age metrics.
I made a trade last week. I traded Royce Freeman, who I'm a big fan of, for AJ Brown.
I like it. It could be pretty even. AJ Brown could be a first rounder in the draft, and he could get a ton of opportunity. So I mean, if it just depends on what you needed. If you needed a wide receiver,
I just wanted to do it. I just wanted to do it. I didn't need another wide receiver, but whatever.
Hey, you got a good one. He just had, he talked about three guys, and that was one of them. It's funny, I'm in a Devy league where I have both N'Keal Harry and Brian Edwards, and not all leagues work out like that, but I hope they both work out. I hope they have great landing spots and they develop like you're saying, because, man, that will be a heck of a dynasty team one day if those guys both pan out. But that's the risk you take when you trade away, assets now for futures. And I think that's why we all kind of are interested in this, because you can do well like that.
Yeah, and both of my Devy leagues, I took Darius Geis last year, so that worked out for both of them. But, thank you very much for coming on. I know people can find you on Twitter. They could go to Life's Your Cup. That's your Twitter handle, and you can follow and get all his takes and all his advice there. And is there anything else you want to let everybody know before we wrap up?
I just want to thank everyone for their time, the opportunity to come on here and, talk about fantasy football.
All. We'll see you out there, man. You know what? Keep fighting the good fight. I love what you're doing out there for all the research and keep it up, man. We'll continue to follow you.
Thank you very much. We'll tell our listeners to follow you as well. So have a great night. Thanks for coming on.
All right. You too, guys. Thanks.
Take care, my man. We'll see you.
See ya. All right.
All right. Well, that was great. Yeah. Thanks for coming on. So before we wrap up everything, I know, Shane, you want to talk about the Scouting Academy?
I do. So if you jump on our site right now, you can go ahead and save yourself some cash signing up for the Scouting Academy. Save yourself $50 off summer registration. And we actually have a really cool new promo video up on there for the Scouting Academy. Yeah, literally. This is like breaking news. There's all types of fun stuff happening to our website as I speak to you now live.
Oh, yeah?
From the past. Because when people listen to this, I'll be from the past. Even though they'll be listening to it in the present.
Tripping me out, man.
It's deep, man. It's deep. But yeah, go on our website. Go ahead and hit the Learn to Scout Like a Pro, the Scouting Academy. Like I said, there's a cool promo on there. Save $50 off the summer registration. Not going to lie to you, it feels like summer in Philadelphia right now.
Look at you.
But if you want to be able to scout, if you want to understand what people are talking about when they say a running back lacks vision, or he can't get to the second level, or he lacks burst, or they probably don't use the term like run through trash, I'm guessing, but things like that. you learn how to be a better player evaluator, and that can't help. That can't hurt. That can't hurt you. Yeah, can't hurt you.
All right, that's cool. So yeah, go check out the Scouting Academy. Listen, guys, we talked about it last week about reviews, and we got some new reviews this week.
Sweet.
But there's one that I think is really stands out that's pretty funny, and it's from Jim Poppy 24, and he gave us 5 stars, but he called it "Come and Find Me Shane," is what he said. And when you read it, it says, "I almost wanted to give this podcast a 1 star just so that I could hear Shane go on another rant, but my thumb wouldn't let me do it. It's an awesome show, always a blast to listen to, and so informative. The best thing about it is everyone's personalities. Keep it up. I'm always looking forward to each week's episodes."
That made my soul smile.
You don't have a soul.
Well, if I had a soul, wherever my soul is supposed to be, there's a smiley face there now.
Especially after you were so upset about the 1 star. So I thank you, Jim Poppy, for saying that to our Shane. It makes him feel way better.
Yes, we appreciate that greatly.
Jeremy, you wanted to talk about the FFPC?
Yeah. Well, the FFPC, you know, Dynasty Football Factory, we're partnering with the Fantasy Football Players Championship for this new high stakes experience, Dynasty Leagues. The whole site, we're all excited about it. A lot of us who work at Dynasty Football Factory, we're in leagues, we're hosting leagues, basically. We're writing about them for the site. Some of us for the first time playing in the Fantasy Football Championship, Players Championship. And anyways, visit our site, Dynasty Football Factory. On the left-hand side, you can find, you can watch a video, a promo for these high-stakes Dynasty Leagues, and visit the FFPC and join any of the Dynasty Football Factory Leagues. They're $77 high-stakes leagues. It's my first time doing one of these, and I'm going to tell you, it's intense. You know, standard scoring, one quarterback leagues, shallow rosters. I think it's 20 spots. I'm in the middle of a draft right now, and it is pretty crazy. These guys love it. What were you saying, Shane?
They're PPR.
It was this PPR noise in the background.
Yeah, PPR. One quarterback PPR, not standard scoring, but standard setup, one quarterback, two running back, two wide receiver, one tight end. You have a couple flex spots, but yes, PPR scoring, one quarterback.
Shane is whispering while you're talking.
And 1.5 points for the tight end.
Yes, it's tight end premium, so get yourself a couple of good ones, even though you only start one. You can flex a couple. You can flex one or two. But anyways, it's been a great experience, the Fantasy Football Players Championship. They do a great job, great website. Nothing to complain about in this draft so far. It's run flawlessly. You know, these guys are going to basically kick my ass, I'm noticing now, because I don't have enough running backs, for instance. I'm not used to that. Late round running back, you know, zero running back, whatever you want to call it. It's not working in my favor in this draft, but that's okay. It's all part of the fun. I'll get running backs later. Shane, anything you want to add? Because I know you're farther along in your draft.
Our draft is finished, and I just want to say also that FFPC has awesome customer service. Yep. There was a guy in our league that neglected to draft the defense, because you do have to draft a kicker and a defense. And they went ahead and added the defense to his, or I'm sorry, they added the kicker to his roster the next day. I won't say who that was, but it might have been me. And
I was going to say, how did you know all this stuff?
It might have been me. So yeah, I, like a jackass, I went ahead and I doubled up on my defense. I grabbed New Orleans in the 20th round, which is a good pick, I think. Unfortunately, I didn't have a kicker, though. So I had to have one of those. Yeah. So I went ahead and released, what do you call that team? New Orleans. And then I got an email the next morning from the site telling me, "Hey, jackass, you didn't draft the kicker, you ding nuts." Most of that was in my head.
I can one up you on the jackass department, because you have to start two running backs, and I started out fine. I'm fine with the two guys I got early on, Jordan Howard and Lamar Miller. I feel like, you know, I can compete with those guys. But then my next two running backs, because I didn't get enough guys, to start to. I ended up with Ito Smith, a rookie
who
might get some touches. Yeah, who might get some touches this year, and DeMarco Murray, who's not even on a team.
Not on a team. Yeah, he's not on a team.
So I just like the high risk play. I like, you know, hey, how can I get a running back and matter this season? Kind of that's my strategy for this draft.
Well, if we're interesting, if we're really
and
going,
I have three tight ends.
If we're really
then
going,
I can only start one.
If we're really going out to Vegas, which we are, and we talked last week or 2 weeks ago about getting a GoFundMe, some people are going to donate money to help for your team. Well, there was one more review here on iTunes that we got this week to support you again, Shane. And it was from Aha, that's his name, and he wrote, "Fighting the one star," but he gave us 5 stars. He said, "Great podcast, fun to put on when I'm at work, and I get some different perspectives on players. I heard Shane say that you got 1-star review, so I figured I'd drop a 5-star to give you guys a boost. Also, 1-quarterback leagues are pointless garbage." So you guys can't see it, but Shane's like doing fist pumps and dancing around.
And I hate to be mean like this, but Shane likes super flex leagues because those are easier for Shane to win.
But does he win?
Go into battle with
but
the
does
one
he win?
It is fun,
Shane,
though.
Do you win?
One of the championships I won last year was a super flex league, but that's neither here nor there. I just like them because I think, one, it makes the quarterback actually valuable.
I like that part too.
Two, I think it enables more opportunity for trading.
PPR.
PPR.
So,
but no, we want to, we appreciate any 5-star reviews you give us, really any reviews except for 1-star. I'll fucking kill you. But
we probably need to start giving some hats out if people rate and review us like that well. Just review, send us a screenshot, and get a Dynasty Trades headquarters hat to put on your head while you're painting or washing your car.
You know what I like, though? The fact that you just said that, the cool thing is we got those reviews without offering them anything. So that was really
exactly.
Cool, you know?
It is cool.
They just wanted to make Shane feel better.
Validate Shane.
Well, you know, I am like the emotional core of this team.
Oh, yeah. So,
mascot.
Yeah, Shane's the real emotional core of this group.
I think that I'm like the heart and soul, if you will. And, you know, when the podcast hurts, I hurt.
Yeah, and
it's
Jeremy and I
you
are just
heart and soul because I was thinking that you were the dick of this podcast as far as body parts go. Sorry, man.
So before we actually wrap this up, we do have a question in the Dynasty Trades HQ Pod Gmail account.
Oh, cool.
And again, we do welcome any questions and photos of
photos.
Rosters,
photos is fine. Yes. So what's the question?
So we got it from, I'll just call him Bobby. He's a fan of the podcast. Awesome. He's entering the 11th year of a 12-team dynasty league. Wow.
Cool.
You must select 3 keepers each year. Pretty standard. 1 quarterback, 2 running backs, 2 wide receivers, a tight end, flex, kicker, and defensive special teams. Ooh, only a quarter point per reception. He won the league in 2009, and he has a very long way to go because his team sucks. So here's the offer. He received. The guy offered him Devontae Adams, Shady McCoy.
Yeah.
Doug Baldwin.
I like it.
4. Leonard Fournette.
Oh, wow, man. That's interesting. All for Leonard Fournette.
And he did give us a little context. He doesn't have another running back 1. And he's also a little thin at wide receiver.
So wait, so he was being offered McCoy?
Okay, he's,
And who else?
Doug Baldwin and Devontae Adams.
I mean, I got to be honest with you. I'd probably take Devontae Adams straight up over Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, no, I like the Devontae Adams, Doug Baldwin, and Shady McCoy over Leonard Fournette, especially because he has a need for wide receivers. But like you said, I'd probably take 2 of those guys over Leonard Fournette, to be honest.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though, and he only gets to keep 3 players. He only has Dak. So if he makes the trade, he keeps Adams and the 2 best wide receivers. So he has Juju, Jarvis Landry, Sammy Watkins, Curse, and Anderson. All right, so let's assume he makes the trade.
Okay, and then he
basically
keeps Adams.
He's making, I mean, basically, he's making the trade
for Adams.
Yeah, because looking at the keepers that he would keep, he's keeping Juju. Although, I got to be honest with you, for your best opportunity, I think I'd keep Juju, Devontae, and Doug Baldwin.
Yeah.
If he makes that trade. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Are you guys taking Doug Baldwin over Jarvis Landry?
Yeah, because and he says he doesn't have a clear-cut wide receiver one. He's got all these guys, although Juju. No, I like where you're going. I mean, that's kind of how you have to look at this one because of the limitations he has with keeping players. What do you think, Sipes?
Yeah, no, I guess I have to agree with that. I mean, it's so different thinking about keepers instead of dynasty, you know? So you make
it changes.
Yeah, you make a decision it. And then you make that trade and then half the trade doesn't even matter. You're just throwing it away. So I guess if he needs the wide receivers, then yeah, you go with those wide receivers.
And Adams as Rodgers' number one guy and well, the best one he has currently. Yeah. That's big money. I mean, that's going to help you more than Fournette with a three-player keeper.
We trash Fournette on this podcast a lot, and you know we got to stop with the fat shaming. Mostly me.
I was going to say, when did that ever happen?
What he is. Yes, I'd rather have Jordan Howard, to be honest. But I mean, he's got limitations. I mean, he's not the dynamic guy. He's just getting the rock a lot, and Devontae Adams is dynamic, and he plays with the best quarterback, in my opinion, in the NFL right now, as far as being able to launch that ball to the wide receiver one and get you PPR love, like, and the, you know, the yards and the touchdowns. I mean, how many touchdowns did Adams have last year? Like 923?
Touchdowns? 923. Well, if he had 923 touchdowns, then there's no question. But,
on 10, 12.
10 touchdowns.
10 last year. I mean, 12 the year before.
So go ahead,
guy's a touchdown maker.
I'm just saying, you take him straight up, I guess, over Fournette anyway.
Yeah, and you know what? And
limitations and needing wide receivers. Yeah, trade Fournette away for that package. Use all those players this year, and then keep Adams at the end of the year. And also ask your guys to give you at least five keepers.
Yeah.
Yeah, three keepers, man. That's rough. I would hate that. I'm already dreading in the FFPC leagues that it's, you know, you only get to keep 16.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Like that made me a little iffy on, and you'll see in my write up, there's a couple guys that I drafted towards the end. I'm like, I almost don't even want to draft like stash and hope guys, because this time next year, like Ito Smith is a guy, you know, in traditional dynasty leagues where I'm keeping 25 to 30 guys, I'm drafting him all over the place. Yeah. In a league where I can only keep 16, I'm like, oh,
you're only holding 20 anyway, right? I mean, it's only 20 spots.
Yeah. It's likely he won't even make it. He won't, if he is on my roster, I forget right now, he won't make it through the season with me because of bye weeks and whatnot.
Well, wait, but Jeremy said he drafted him on his team and he has to use him.
I had no choice.
No. Yeah, no, I didn't make that mistake. No, Ito Smith was like in the 17th round for me. Like I'm good at running back.
This league is devoid of running backs. Like Jeremy. If I want a running back, I'm drafting everything high risk. And in fact, DeMarco Murray, like he's not even on a team, right? He's on my team.
Yeah, well, that's great. But yeah, so that was the show. We had fun. I don't know.
Did we actually answer the question? We said yes, take the trade, right?
Yes, we did answer
the
question,
trade, Bobby.
And I was just gonna say.
Oh, and we said keep Devontae Adams, Juju. And
Doug Baldwin,
and that hurts because I love Sammy Watkins. But for the sure thing, you gotta hold on to Doug Baldwin there. If you could keep four guys, I'd still probably keep Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, I think.
But if you could keep five, then I'd keep Sammy.
He
Watkins.
Can't. He can't do any of those things. And
I'll
you're
tell
right.
You what I don't know what you've done in the recent past, Shane. It's like you've turned over a new leaf. But this entire show, you have sounded so logical. I mean, it's amazing. I don't know. Are you taking like some nutrition enhancements? Are you like doing something?
He got a haircut. He got a haircut.
Kale? Are you eating kale?
I did get a haircut.
He got a haircut. Maybe that's it.
My psychiatrist has switched up my meds, so thank you for noticing.
I did notice.
So can I say, if either one of us talked about this, Shane would say, who cares? Nobody cares. Let's go on and wrap up.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. True. No one knows if I'm being facetious or if I'm being genuine right now, because I am, like, you know, just made of sarcasm. So.
So great. So why don't you tell everybody where they can find us, even though they're already listening to us?
Pod Monster.
Yeah, just hit play, you jackass, because you're already listening to us. Don't you better cut out the part where I call our jackasses.
I think I'm going to leave that in, and then I'm going to leave it in where you tell me to cut it out.
So you can find us. Yeah, you can find us on all the usuals, Podbean, Stitcher, Podland, all that good stuff. Also, don't forget to check out the Debbie Watch, the Warzone Fantasy FF Fellas, yes.
Capology.
The wait, new...
What? Wait, what was that? Capology?
101. There's also the new Edge Crushers, but they're not... No, the IDP Edge Crushers, but it's under new management.
Are those guys really crushing the
edge? Hold on. Yeah. There may have been some mistakes in there, but all you got to do is go over to the website, go to dynastyfootballfactory.com. There's a link down there at the top for the DF Network. It shows all the podcasts. We have a lot of great things for you guys to listen to. There's also a lot
Go sign up for GT Bets and let them know that we referred them.
Join
an FFPC league.
And our email again, Shane, is what?
Dynasty Trades HQ Pod at gmail.com.
Oh my God. This is all over the place. But one last thing about the website. Shane said there's some new highlights on the website. They've changed some things. We have new ranking system on there. And there's some more fun stuff coming up late, really soon. So check out the website, dynastyfootballfactory.com. And thanks for listening. And we got some good stuff coming up next week. So we'll see you next week.
See you next week, guys.
Deuces.
What's so funny is you hear keyboard clicking when he's talking.
I'm sorry.
I'm writing my novel while we're doing this podcast.
I like the keyboard clicking while we're saying goodbye. So, all right, bye, guys. Okay.